Okay, let's go over to Psalm 95. Psalm 95 this morning. We'll continue in this vein of devotions. Lord, we're going to finish off this morning. And how do we get on to devotions? Well, we start off with spiritual warfare, and the battle is on. And I was thinking on these lines, it's good for us as we face each day to be ready for the fight. To be ready for a battle, to be ready, because our spiritual enemies, the world, the devil, and the flesh, they don't stop, they don't rest. Oh, look, it's Sunday. Look, today's the day off. We'll catch up tomorrow. No, they're fighting at us. Even as you drive to church, they're fighting at you. They want to get you distracted. They want you to get angry with the car beside you, or the car behind you, or the car in front of you. You know, they want to get you distracted, to get so you miss things. All sorts of things will go on, and so it's good for us to start the day with the Lord, that God would be our primary focus, that we try to get a spiritual mindset as the day starts, because there is just so much opposition. There is just so much will come our way. So we looked at the different things. So we came through the enemies, we came through the warfare, we came through the armor. And before, there's a few other thoughts I would like to bring in this line, but this thought of devotions, I thought we need to just start each day with God, have the right mindset, as we face the day, as we face the enemy, they'll come along, they'll be disguised, they'll be entrenched, they'll be in all sorts of places just waiting to trip you up. And the key to it is, if you do trip up, if you do stumble, if you do take a fall, you get back up again. Man, get back on that horse. Man, get back on the bike. It threw me, but I'm not stopping. I'm going to get back up. I'm going to press on. And unless you're dead, your life is of value. And God's got something for your life. So if you're breathing, just check your pulse. If you're breathing, your life counts. God's got something in mind for you. So live to fight another day. Just fight those enemies that come through. We started this idea of the practical side of devotions, and I made mention of some things that you need. Well, you need a quiet place, and then you need your Bible and a devotional book, a notepad and pen. You'll need a hymnal, and you'll need a prayer list. And those would be the basics, you know, that you could have. I don't know that you need much more than that. You don't have to have all of those things. But it's something. I'm trying to give you ideas. If your devotional time right now is working, don't mess it up by something that I say. You know, it's your relationship with the Lord. I'm just trying to, because some people don't have devotions because they think, it's impossible to know God. It's just, that God of the universe, he's not going to hear me. I'm glad he saved me, but he's not going to hear me. Sometimes it's ignorance. Oh, well, I don't know how to do it. It would be good to, but I don't know how to do it. Some people don't do it because of apathy. It's just not important. That's your perspective. Look, I just don't think it's important. And there's reasons. Everyone has a reason for not doing it or doing it, on both sides of that. But it's a relationship. You want to make sure that you have a walk with the Lord, that your relationship is real, that it's fresh. Like I say, if you're having devotions and it's working for you, great. File some of these things away just in case you realize, man, I think it needs a bit of a freshen up. Can I try change something that's going to increase my walk with the Lord, that's going to help me with these things? So we came down through reading your Bible, about having a devotional, starting with prayer, having a devotional book, just one page, just a simple thought, and then I got on to using your Bible. You could use Psalms, you can use Proverbs, a small portion of Scripture through the day there to help you. I talked about writing out the Scriptures, reading the Scriptures, listening to the Scriptures. Now we move to the hymnal. You can find that your hymnal can be of great importance to your devotional time. And it's not to prop your Bible up on. You can open it and sing. But Brother Neil, you haven't really heard me sing. Well, I'm probably glad I haven't heard you sing, if you think that way about your singing. But it does say make a joyful noise. So not every noise sounds melodious and harmonious to the ear. And what is that noise? That just might be your singing. But when you sing unto the Lord, you're not singing for my benefit. You're not singing for anybody else. You're singing to Him. And that's the biggest difference. It's, yeah, but what if someone hears me? Sing in the shower. Man, Marcus sings in the shower. He evangelizes our neighbors. He sings in the shower. We were up there in Rocky and we met the man next door. And he was of, where was he from? Mauritius. Is that right? He was from Mauritius. And he looked at each of us and he looked at Marcus. He says, "You'd be the one that sings in the bathroom." Marcus will sing. Linda said, "Should we get him to stop?" I says, "No. He's singing Amazing Grace in there. He's singing Sunday school songs. Man, let him sing." Same too with it. Guys, it's not going to hurt us to sing. Sing. You just, you know, I'll see people walking along at work and they'll be singing. They're not going to be singing hymns, of course. They'll be singing something else or humming. I'll pull them. "Oh, whoa, you stop that." And they'll stop and look at me. I says, "That's a sign of happiness. And if the boss sees you're happy, he's going to give you more work." "Oh." You know, they'll put it on. Sometimes Christians almost believe that. "Oh, should I be happy? Man, mule face. Man, get over it. Man, get alive. Enjoy living." I didn't know the Christian life was supposed to be sad. I didn't know it was supposed to be so stiff and sober. I think my wife would have a problem with me if I turned all serious and stiff and... I said, "Man, what is wrong with you? You know, if I get quiet, is everything all right? What's wrong?" It's the idea of a relationship. That thing of singing comes from that heart. Have a look here in Psalm 95, verse 1. "O come, let us sing unto the Lord." So we're singing to who? To the Lord. "Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." Psalm 96, verses 1 and 2. "O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day." About singing unto the Lord. Come over to Psalm 98. Psalm 98, look how it opens. "O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand, his holy arm, hath gotten him the victory." A good reason to sing unto the Lord is because he has done marvelous things. You know, we're down watching Marcus play football yesterday. Marcus's team didn't get to sing the team song; they didn't win. But you know, when the winners win, they sing the team song. And the deal is, you're not supposed to sing the team song till you win. You know, as Christians, we're winners. We're on the victory side. We're not losers. He causes us to triumph. It doesn't say he causes us to get beaten day after day. It says he causes us to triumph. And we're supposed to live on the side of triumph. Is it going to be glorious? Is it going to be upward and onward? No. There's battles. But we are on the victory side. We've won. We're on the winner's side. The final whistle hasn't blown yet, but we are winners. It's a fight. It's a struggle. There are things to overcome. There are things to work through. But in the back of our minds, I'm a winner. We haven't got to walk around with, you know, L on the forehead. Yeah, I'm a loser. I'm sorry. It's unfortunate that they present in TV and movies Christians as bumbling idiots. But we're not. I admit there's a few Christians that are bumbling idiots, and I would portray them as a bumbling idiot. But we don't have to be. We're winners. We're on God's side. God's on our side. Someone said, "You and God are a majority. You're never outnumbered when God is on your side." And too often we think, "Oh, how would I do this?" No, you and God are a majority. You're paired up with the right thing. In Psalm 13, you haven't got to turn there. Psalm 13, 6 is a very similar verse in that. "I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. In your devotional time, have you tried singing to the Lord? Have you tried singing? Yeah, it doesn't have to be loud. You haven't got to be like that rooster on the perch at you know, the crack of dawn. Oh, what's that? Oh, that's Neil having devotions. You haven't got to... I don't think anybody hears me when I sing unto the Lord. Just enough for me to hear, and hopefully the devil hears. And you just, and go ahead and sing. Matthew 26 and verse 30, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out unto the Mount of Olives. The disciples, before them and the Lord walked out to go to the Mount of Olives, they sung a hymn. Before Christ went to that final battle, he sung a hymn before he went out. I don't think it's a bad idea for us to sing before we go about our day and do that. But you know, I don't always feel like singing. True. In one of the songs in our hymnal, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, tune my heart to sing." Sometimes we need a bit of a tune-up. Lord, tune me up. Get everything in place here, God. I want to sing. I want to make sure I can sing. Teach me some streams of mercy never ceasing. Call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Brethren, we have met to worship and to adore the Lord our God. So we're going to have a look a bit later. All these hymns that come through that we sing here, there are other hymns that we can use that will help us in our walk with the Lord. Just by thumbing through your hymnal, have a look at the different titles. You know, just up the top there, you got Guidance and Care. It starts off hymns of worship, worship the Father, worship Christ. Then it moves into his birth, his earthly ministry, suffering, death, resurrection, return, Holy Spirit, Word of God, salvation, invitation, assurance and trust, peace and comfort, guidance and care, aspiration, prayer, challenge, commitment, Christian warfare, service, praise and testimony. Soon we'll hit heaven, won't we? Eternal destiny, yeah, thanksgiving towards the end there, home and family, new year. All sorts of topics. I've taken a hymnal. I've just started at the front cover and sung two or three songs before praying. And I just work through the hymnal. Just. Sometimes I go to the aspiration area because the things of the desire of my heart, the aspiration of my heart, God, I want to, and I sing those things. You'll find that those songs will have a different effect upon you. You know, some of the songs we sing, we want to worship, and sometimes we want to war, and sometimes we want to work, and sometimes we want to wean, sometimes we want to wait. But holy, 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 you could take that just and sing that to the Lord, and just a simple hymn: "Be Thou my vision, Lord, this day. Be Thou my vision." And sing that to the Lord. Have the words. Please don't everybody steal a hymnal. Pastor's going to know where you got the idea from. Okay, so you can buy a hymnal. The pastor's not listening to anyone. Steal them. I was at a church and I said to the pastor on my last trip. I says, "Man, where'd you get this from?" He said, "Oh," he said, "it's just a collection of hymns that I've collected over time. I put it all together." "Oh, that's great," he said. I said, "Can I buy one?" He says, "No, but you can have one." Sold. I took one. So I asked him before I stole it, you know. But I wanted to bring one home because there are hymns in what he'd put together that I haven't heard for 25 years. I thought, man, I'm going to grab that. New songs. Even if there's only one song, I got a song for free. I've got it and it just sits on my shelf there, and one day I'll go through it. I'll go into second-hand stores when I'm in America, and I go second-hand bookstores. I go to the hymnal section, and I'll find different hymnals that are used that I found in different Baptist churches over there. I'll buy that one, take them home. I just use them, part of my... Oh, but aren't some of the songs overlap? Yeah, I don't always sing the same song. Oh, I've sung that one. I just move to the next one. Because I know this song is in this book, and okay, I'll just leave it go. I am thine, O Lord, 314. I am thine, O Lord, I've heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. I'm telling him, Lord, I am thine. I'm making that confession. Lord, I am yours, I am thine. When I survey the wondrous cross, I like the last verse of that. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my all, my life, my soul, my life, my all. And I sing that aspiration, God, you're worthy. And God, would you help me to live in such a way that if it were, I would give it to you. The hymn, My Jesus, I love thee. My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies I would of this life, what is it? I would resign. My Jesus, I love thee. How great thou art. There's a, I use different hymnals. There's one song I sing is I Love Him. Who's heard of that hymn? I Love Him. Pastor has, Brother Johnny has. Gone from my heart, the world and all its charms. Gone are my sins and all that would alarm. Gone evermore, and by his grace I know the precious blood of Jesus cleanses white as snow. I love him, because he first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. And I turn that around and I say, I love you. Because I'm singing to the Lord. I'm singing to the Lord. If we're in a congregation, we sing, I love him. As a group, but even as a congregation, you could still sing a song, I love you. God, I love you. Oh God, you don't know how much I love you. Yes, he does. He does. He knows exactly how much we love him. And he said, I love you. The old account was settled. Who knows that song? So sometimes I'll sing that. Just the old account was settled long ago. It just reminds me what God has done for me. I use, coming from a Salvation Army background, I use a Salvation Army songbook. I only used two songs out of it. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, wrote a song called O Boundless Salvation. And it's a seven verses, and it talks through a salvation. But it says, verse 3, my tempers are fitful, my passions are strong. They bind my poor soul and they force me to wrong. Beneath thy blessed billows, deliverance I see. O come, mighty ocean, and roll over me. Now tossed with temptation and haunted with fears, my life has been joyless and useless for years. I feel something better most surely would be if once thy pure waters would roll over me. Then, and now, hallelujah, the last verse, the rest of my days shall gladly be spent in promoting his praise, who opened his bosom to pour out this sea of boundless salvation for you and for me. And you just, Lord, look what you've done for me. Lord, I'm singing to you. Lord, my heart is to you. And the thing of devotions is not for us. Just so we can tick it off the list. Another song is God's Love is Wonderful. God's love to me is wonderful, that that my very steps are planned. I could probably, if I wasn't up here, I could probably sing it. I could probably recite, I can't remember. God's love is wonderful. I have an app on my phone and iPad. It's called Christ, I believe it's called Christ in Song. And it's got about 800 hymns, and it plays them on a piano. It has the words there, plays them on the piano, and you can change the speed of it, you can change the pitch of it and everything. But there's a song I found on that called Living for Jesus. I hadn't heard it before. I don't know. Does anybody know that song, Living for Jesus? Yes. Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. O Jesus, Lord and Saviour, I give myself to thee, for thou in thy atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give. Henceforth I live for thee alone. So there are songs there. You can sing them first person, sing them third person. The idea, you're singing them to the Lord. We are bombarded with the world songs everywhere we go. You call a business and you're placed on hold, and you may hear the tunes of today or the tunes of yesteryear. You may have music bouncing along there. You'll go into a business and there'll be music playing. You're bombarded with, wouldn't it be good if we could just start the day with some of the songs of Zion and get a different start rather than all that other stuff that we're bombarded with time and time and time again. It makes a difference. Have you ever woken up in the morning with one of the world songs on your heart? Man, where did that come from? There's a song from yesteryear bouncing around, and you think, get it out, get it, stop, man, you got it. Man, replace it. Get another song. Isn't it? Have you ever woken up with a hymn on your heart? Just one of the songs you sung on Sunday, on Wednesday. God brings to mind. Just somehow you wake up and there's this song, a godly song that's just bouncing around in there, and it helps you. Have you noticed how it buoys you up? You're not overwhelmed. How it carries you through the troubles and trials of the day. You've got something already. Why don't we sing and just plant something in there and see if it might stick? And we can go from there. It's a powerful tool. It is a powerful tool. When I was younger, I'd listen to a lot of the world's music, and I'd go to different concerts by different bands. And when I knew I was going to the concert of a particular band, that week before I went, all I ever listened to was that band's music. That's all I ever listened to. I listened to it. So when they started playing, when I first heard that first strum, the first thing of the drum, I knew what song they were going straight into. I wanted to make the most of that money I paid to go to that band. If I would do that for the world's music, what if I was to be listening to Christian songs, hymns, things like that all through the week, so by the time I get to church on Sunday, I'm ready to go. Man, Lord, I'm ready, God, I'm waiting. You'll see it'll make a difference. I'm telling you, guarantee it'll make a difference. If you just get primed with all the Lord's music and you come into church on Sunday, you're ready to go. And if everybody done that, everybody that goes to a concert wants to be there. They want to hear their band. They want to hear that song. They want to sing along with it. They want to shout their horse, their burst of their drum, whatever, they want to be there. Why not as Christians, we get ready, say, hey, church is on Sunday. I'm looking forward to it. And it starts, if we would just take our time in devotions, put something on in the car and do that. So now we come to prayer. Now we come to prayer. Singing, one of the things singing will definitely do, will help tune your heart to pray. It'll help get you ready to meet with the Lord in prayer and to talk with him. Your Bible reading, is God talking to you? Your prayer is you talking to the Lord. Now, three biggest things about prayer. Number one, be you. Don't try to be somebody else. Don't try and pull all the big words out and flash, you know, adjectives and descriptions. Just be you. I heard the story of a fellow that got saved, and that he went along to a youth. They had a youth Bible study, and they always had a time of prayer. And this young man went along, he was saved on Sunday. Went along midweek, I don't know, Tuesday or Thursday night or something. Went along, and they were all praying around. When it got to him, he says, "Lord, this is Bob." Yeah, just to make sure the Lord knew who it was. And one of the fellows that was there, he said the place just erupted. Everyone's just shouting. They just love it. Just a new person, a babe in Christ, saying, "God, this is Bob." And he just gave a very simple prayer. But just be you. Don't try and be somebody else. Be reverend. Don't be familiar. "Hey, God, I'd like to thank you." No, it's Lord. Don't become familiar. I know Christians that are like that. Hey, Lord, thanks heaps for the day. Well, that's all right if you're talking to, you know, someone, but you're talking to the Lord. So be respectful, be reverent because of who you're addressing. Number three, believe what you're saying. Believe what you're praying. In Matthew 21, in verses 21 and 22, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also ye shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. All things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. If you don't really believe God's going to answer your prayer, you're just talking into the air. But we are to pray believing what we are praying, believing that God is going to hear us, believing that God is going to answer us. Now, he may answer us, yes, no, wait, or let me have a chat to you about that for a minute. But he'll have something to say about your prayer. But if you don't believe, there are some things I just don't pray for because I don't believe God's in it. What's the use in praying? Does it make sense to pray if I don't believe God's going to hear and answer my prayer? It may help me. It may get it off my chest. Do I believe it? No. Some folk will say, how do I pray? Is there some sort of pattern that I can use? So, you know, if we don't have a pattern, we wander all over the place. Sometimes a pattern can become too hard and fast, and we go through it rote, and we sort of miss out on the relationship, and we miss out on the heart of it. A couple of different things. Who's heard of the five-fingered prayer? No takers. Okay, five-fingered prayer. Your thumb is nearest to you. So pray for those folk that are nearest to you. Those are the ones easiest to remember. The pointing finger. Pray for those that teach and instruct. Pray for those, you know, doctors, ministers, nurses, people like that. Pray for those. You know, they're instructing, they're helping. You know, the old finger sort of like comes out, doesn't it? Your tallest finger, it's your tallest. You pray for those highest in government. Things like prime minister, you can pray for your premier, the mayor, people in leadership, pray for your pastor, people in leadership. Is for that tall finger. They're making decisions that concern you. Keep them before the Lord. The ring finger, you'll find that your ring finger is your weakest finger. So pray for the weak, pray for the infirm, pray for the sick, pray for those that are needing help in that way. Those in trouble, those in pain, pray for those with your ring finger. Your pinky, it's the furthest one from you. By the time you've taken care of all these others, you get to your pinky, that's you. Okay, put in light, my pinky put in light of everything else, of what I've prayed for these other people. Your last, your littlest, you just leave you to last. Too often, we're like this. Oh Lord, let me tell you. And so it's that order. You know, start closest and then work away. We can do that. Who's heard of the acts of prayer? Okay, couple. The acts of prayer, not A-X-E. Acts, A-C-T-S, the acts of prayer. The A stands for adoration. When you go to prayer, it's also good. Another way of doing it, you've got the five-fingered. Another way is the acts. When you go to prayer, spend time in prayer adoring. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Adore. Spend time in prayer adoring God. Not for what he's done, but for who he is. So, if we find out, okay, this is what he is like. This is something for me to adore him. This is something for me to worship him. In Revelation 4 and verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. He's worthy. So adore him. Find out these things that will cause us to adore him for who he is. Who is your God? Who is your Saviour? What's he like? Adore him for it. Worship him for who he is. It's so easy. God, thank you for doing this, that, and the other. That comes under T for Thanksgiving. But it's A for adoration. Adore him. Get to know your God and adore him. I'm working through five books, a five-part thing, going through the alphabet of the names of Christ. And I have a good imagination for some things, and there are some things I just don't have imagination for about at all. But Charles Rolls has taken all the names of Christ. There's around about 250 names or offices that he holds. And I'm going through those. I'm just making little notes to bring into my devotional time so I get to know who my God is. By name, by nature, your name means something. Have you ever looked at your name, what your name means? It means something. It can have a great deal of bearing on how you live, what you do. It can make a difference. How do you know that? No one is ever called Jezebel. How many of you mothers want to call your daughter Jezebel? It doesn't bring a good connotation with it, does it? You already know. Oh, that's not a good name. What about Judas? None of you mothers want to call your son Judas. There's a bad name connected with it. If you would learn the names of your Lord and find out, by name, by nature, this is his name, this is what he is, this is who he is, and because of that, this is my benefit from it. So last night I just took a few minutes and looked at the next name, and it was the physician. And how he heals, how he works in a person's heart where no doctor on this earth can do it. That tells me something about my Lord. So I go to prayer, and I thank him for being my physician. So I don't call him Doc, I still call him Lord, but I know this is a part of his person that I'm worshipping. And I've just been working through those things. A.W. Tozer wrote a book called The Knowledge of the Holy, and in there Tozer talks about if we have low views of God, the way we live our lives is going to come forth from that. So the higher the view that we have of God, the higher the level that we will live with, because we realize this is where God is. God isn't down on our level. God is high and lofty, the high and lofty one. And our view of him does make a difference. The idea then of that adoration, now confession. Confess your sins. Keep short accounts. The old time Christians from yesteryear would talk about keeping short accounts of sin. Don't let sin mount up. As soon as, even through the day, when you realize, I said the wrong thing, I had the wrong tone, I acted the wrong, God, I'm sorry. God, you're right, I'm wrong. And you confess it and say, God, I'm sorry. Keep short accounts. When you go to prayer, you start each day, you'd be good at night time. If you get a chance, you look back on the day, Lord, is there anything I need to take care of? In the morning you wake up, God, is there anything? What is it? And when that sin comes to mind, confess it. Call it what it is. Call it what it is. And you know, today's society is such that they have, you know, they're changing everything. People no longer are caught in adultery; it's an affair. It's a rendezvous. I thought it was sin. So when the Lord brings something to your mind about you, call it what it is. Lord, this is what you said it is. And Lord, you're right. And we can wax over it, we can gloss over it and everything. But be specific. Unconfessed sin will hinder our praying. So that's why we need to confess. In Psalm 66 and verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. We need to get to that point of, God, I'm going to confess it. God, I confess this, that, and the other. We have a promise in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive. If we confess, he will forgive and to cleanse us from most? No, all. It's a clean slate. We start again. It's the idea of that confession of sin. Thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6. Be thankful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So have thanksgiving. In Psalm 68, it says, he daily loadeth us with blessings. Psalm 68:19. He daily loadeth us with blessings. You're loaded. You know that? You're loaded. He daily loadeth. The thing loadeth, the way the tense that the old King James has, it means present and continuing. It's ongoing. So you start the day already loaded, but through the day you're going to be loaded up. God's going to have blessings for you there. Thank him for them. When those things come, we adore him for who he is. We confess and say, God, I'm sorry for this, that, and the other. God, I confess it as sin. Please wash and cleanse me. Then, God, look what you've done. So initially, right from the start, there's that idea of cleanse from sin. He daily loathes us with blessings. And then the S in the idea of Acts is, the S is for supplication. Supplication, the idea of pouring your heart out. This is a time where we talk to the Father. Someone has said, talk to God like he doesn't know what's going on. Open up. Talk. Lord, this is the situation. God, this is where we're at. Lord, this is what I'm facing this day. He knows exactly what you're facing. But if we would pray, number one, it helps us to unburden ourselves. We lay it and we leave it before the Lord and leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Leave them there and walk on into your day and let God take care of them. Too often we leave them there, we pick them up and we go, man, no, leave them and walk into your day. The idea of supplication, of working through, spending that time. You can use for your supplication, for, you know, as you're praying for people. What I started off doing years ago, you go to one of them cheap shops, you buy an address book, A to Z. You put people's names, people's ministries under each of them, under each of them headings, A, B, C, all the way through. That you have an automatic prayer list right there that you can access. So maybe on one day you might pray for A to D, then it might be E to G, and each day you work through. You've got a prayer list right there that you can work through. A church directory. You've got all the people's names in the church. Mums, dads, kids, all there, ready to go. You can pray. You can use your church directory. You can use different things. You may want to make something up of your own. Now, when it comes to the idea of a prayer list, there are three dangers to keep in mind about a prayer list. Number one, it can lead to automatic prayer. We just go through A, B, C, D, Amen. And we go about our day. And all we've done is we've blurted, we've puked over the Lord, we've just given it out, and that's it, great, I've done it, I've prayed. But have we prayed? Like, have we spoken to the Lord with it? So sometimes having a prayer list makes for automatic prayer. It can sometimes, where we're not led of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes in our prayer time, just slow down enough and listen and see which of these things on my list God would have me pray about now. And you have a look at that and see. Prayer list can also be bad. Oh, I'll put that on my prayer list. And maybe God doesn't want you praying about that at all. Number three, danger. There'll be stuff on your prayer list. You'll be thinking, do I really need to be praying about this? So again, I'm not against prayer lists. Just something to keep in mind as you develop a prayer list. Are we supposed to pray for every single thing that people come to us and it would be good to? Practically, really, can we? Do you still? Some things are worth holding on to when we pray. You don't have a vested interest in it. Somebody else does. Pray for that person. Pray with it. You may even want to pray about it once a week. Not every single day, but we load up. Oh, it's on my prayer list. I must do. Oh, I haven't done my prayer list. I'm a sinful dog today. God will never even look at me. All these things run through our minds, and it's not true. We can't pray for everything on our lists every day. I know a pastor, he has three lists. One list he works through daily. There's another list he works through weekly. Another list he works through monthly. And he'll make mention of these things on a monthly basis, on a weekly basis, or on a daily basis. I thought, oh, I've never heard that before. That's a change. It's something different. And you can work through and see. Some people are called to be prayer warriors. Some people can just pour their hearts out and spend hours and hours and hours in prayer. Not all of us can. But we can still pray. We still need to pray. We must pray. But let's make our prayer such where we can focus on the Lord. I'm just trying to work through. Let's move through here and finish this off today then. The idea of that's the acts of prayer. If you don't like acts, go to scat. Go to tax. Mix it up. You don't have to go ACTS. If you want to go CSAT, great. Go. If you want to go cats, CATS, go cats. Again, it's an idea. Things to incorporate into your devotional time, into your prayer time, into your spiritual life. Parts that we need as far as doing that. In prayer, four things not to be afraid of. Don't be afraid of singing. We've already covered that. But don't be afraid to sing. It's not for somebody else, remember. It's the Lord. The Lord sees the heart behind either the sound or the noise. He sees the heart behind. Years ago, I was at a meeting in America, and a family got up to sing, and one of the children of the family, a teenage girl, she was mentally handicapped, and I couldn't understand her for a lick. I'm sure parents, mothers seem to have the idea it can understand what babies and stuff are saying, but each of that family sang a song, and then she sang a verse of that song. Couldn't understand a lick. But man, I tell you, God moved in that place. Oh, yeah. She lifted her head back. She's singing away. And man, God moved. I get goosebumps. Just God knew what she was saying. I had no idea. But that heart, don't be afraid to sing. Don't be so focused on the quality of your singing. Concentrate on the quality of your heart behind the singing. Don't be afraid of speaking to the Lord. Oh, I don't know if I can speak. Don't be afraid of speaking to the Lord. Speak. Talk to Him. Neil, isn't that a bit too elementary? He already knows what's in your heart. He already knows. talk with him. Lord, this is how I'm feeling. This is what I think. God, I really wish you'd just smash their teeth out. God, that is in Psalms. He already knows. He knows what's in your heart. And you go back later and say, God, I'm sorry for not being gracious. But he knows what's in your heart. But you need to speak. You need to speak to the Lord. Don't be frightened of silence. Don't be afraid of silence. Through your prayer time, through your devotional time, don't be afraid of stopping and being silent before the Lord and just see if he might have something for you. Don't be frightened to stop and be silent. If you can be silent before the Lord without your mind wandering hither, thither and yon, take time to just sit silent before the Lord just to see if the Lord might have something for you. Number four, don't be afraid of sobbing. Don't be afraid of crying. Don't be afraid of pouring your heart out. You've got to learn to cry. Oh, I've never cried before. You better learn to cry. You better. I forget one of the military generals from days gone by, he said, I'm afraid of a man that does not cry. We're supposed to have the hide of a buffalo, but we're supposed to be tender inside. We're supposed to be thick-skinned men, but we're supposed to be tender where we can cry. And if you can cry anywhere, the safest place for you to cry is before the Lord and cry, pour out your heart. The other week I was out there at Blackwater. I was up early. And I had my quiet time, and then I went for a walk, and I just felt a real oppression, a real struggle, a real strain, no peace. And I thought, man, I just got this weight on me, I walk on my pajama day. It's my transition day between day shift and night shift. That morning I'll go for a walk. And I was almost back to camp, and the Lord brought the song Stand By Me. Have you heard that song? The hymn, Stand By Me. Not one of these other songs. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me. When the hosts of hell assail and my strength begins to fail, thou who never lost a battle, stand by me. In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me. In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me. When I do the best I can and my friends misunderstand, thou who knowest all about me, stand by me. In the midst of persecution, stand by me. In the midst of persecution, stand by me. When my foes in battle array undertake to stop my way, thou who saved Paul and Silas, stand by me. And I just cried as I sung that song. I just cried. I tell you, a weight lifted. I didn't know. What was its source? What was it? I don't know. But I knew it was a chore. It was life was hard. And I just met with the Lord and I just sung that song to him as my prayer request. Again, I went back to prayer and God just lifted everything. There was a breakthrough. Prayer, as we close now, prayer is a habit and it must be developed. Instinct works in reverse. Instinct, if you're hungry, you'll continue to hunger until you have something to eat. That's instinct. With prayer, prayer is opposite. The less you pray, the less likely you are to pray, the less you want to pray. It's totally opposite. From the physical. When you're hungry, you'll keep hungering until you get something to eat. When you pray and you don't, then you get to that point of... But you find that the more you pray, the more you want to pray, the more you want to spend time with the Lord.
the more you pray. So it's a vicious cycle, but pray. Don't stop. You say, oh, yeah, but yeah, I don't know. It just seems real. All I'm saying is, please, don't stop praying. Pray. Pray and get a breakthrough. Pray. Don't stop. Because when you stop, it's ever so much harder to start back up again and to continue on. So pray. There's devotions. We covered them from 2 weeks to 4 weeks. We did all right. I pray they're a help to you. I pray they're going to be a help to you, not just today, but into the future. You think, oh, well, what's going to happen? Just please, just make it, just pray, walk with the Lord, read His Word, start the day. The battle is on. It is on. It is just so difficult. The battle is on. And we'll continue on in some of these other things in the coming weeks.